Shush Marino, Rav Shlita, Mazel Tov to Jeff Levinson on his special birthday. What's particularly nice is to see your grandsons here as well. And they say that your children are your investments and your grandchildren are your profits. You should have good health for many, many, many years to come. This hundredth, as they say, till 120. The only problem is, what do you do when you're invited to somebody's 120th birthday party? What do you say then? Apparently the answer to that is, you say to the birthday person, have a nice day. What do I think when I'm blowing the shofar? What do I think when I'm hearing the shofar? What does Hashem Yisbarach himself think when he is hearing the shofar? Thank you. A friend of mine who was blowing the shofar in a local shul asked his rabbi, what should I be thinking when I blow the shofar? And the rabbi said to him, concentrate that you're doing the sounds right. Simple as that. Nothing huge, nothing philosophical, nothing big. But when we are listening to the shofar, and we are not blowing the shofar, what should we be thinking? There is a famous Sadhya Gaon who lists 10 things that you should be thinking. He talks about Briyasa Olam, Hashem created the world, he is the king. We're talking about HaMelech HaKodosh. There is the idea of a reminder to do Teshuvah. It's a wake-up call. It's like an alarm clock. We remember Mamad Har Sinai. When Hashem gave the Torah, the shofar was blown. And at Matan Torah, we said, Naseh V'Nishma. We will do and we will listen. And Nishma doesn't only mean listen. It means to understand. It means to obey. So there's an idea of knowing what it's all about. Ashrei Om Yod Esuro. Happy are the people who know the Truah, who know the sound of the shofar. It doesn't say happy are the people who listen to the shofar, but who know and who understand what it's about. And the understanding comes from Naseh V'Nishma. The other list of the Sadhya Gaon is to remember the Divrei Hanaviim, the warnings of the prophets, to pray for the Beis HaMikdosh, to provoke arousal and fear, which is perhaps the main idea, the wake-up call, as we said. The Yom HaDin of the future, he talks about the ingathering of the exiles, when the shofar will be blown, when we'll all come back to the land of Israel. And the tenth one is Techiyas HaMesim. But one very important one, which I didn't mention, was the Akedah, Akedas Yitzchok. Because when Hashem hears the shofar being blown, it's there to remind him of Akedas Yitzchok. The Shemesh Ruel says that when you have a hidden deed, it doesn't possess the power to have an effect on your descendants. But when the Akedah, as it was, revealed publicly, it helps us all, because it says in the Akedah, V'yirash Zaracho. There's an idea of inheritance. So when we are blowing the shofar, we get a zechus of the Akedas Yitzchok, and we remember the Akedas Yitzchok. So we are looking at that more in a moment. So what are we thinking about? So there are some who say, hold on a minute, you've got 10 things to think about when you're hearing the shofar, but there's really one important thing which you haven't mentioned at all. And that is the Gezeras HaMelech. Hashem told you to blow, so you blow. That's the din of the Torah. You're doing what you were told to do. And indeed, the Pasuk says, Tiku b'choda shofar b'keseh liyom chageinu. So it's talking about the blowing of the shofar b'keseh. Keseh is the Rosh Chodesh, when the moon is hidden. Keseh means hidden. Ki chok l'Yisrael hu b'shpot l'Yakov. Chok. A chok is a law of the Torah which it doesn't give a reason for. It's not really telling you why. You do it because Hashem told you to do it. Notwithstanding that, the Rambam departs from his usual style in giving out the halachas. He sets out dinim in his Mishnah Torah and in Hilchas Teshuvah Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. He goes into the philosophical side of Matan Torah, and he says, even though Tekiyas HaShofar is Gezeras HaKosov, it is an edict. Simply, you do it because you're told to do it. It is a clear remez on the pasuk. Wake up. Hikitsu mitharmid aschem. You wake up from your deep sleep, look at your deeds, and come back to teshuva. There are people who shochim eso emes. They forget the truth. The hevle hazaman in the various vanities of the time in which they live. The shonim kol shenosam behevel. They are spending all their time on hevel v'rik, on vanities, and it doesn't get them anywhere. And I heard of a guy just this week. He was a gambling addict, and he got £18,000 in some inheritance, and within 5 days he just gambled the lot online and lost it. You know, people get drawn into habits and addictions in their ways, and they just lose things. And in the same way, even if we're not addicts to gambling or smoking or drinking or whatever, we get drawn up into our habits and we forget about what life is really for. Hence the idea of tekiyas shofar. It's a wake up call, and the Rambam spells this out interestingly, even though his main job is just to tell us the halachas. So the Midrash Rabbah says in Parshas Emor, Olo Elokim Bistruah Hashem Bekol Shofar. So there it's talking about the shofar, and it says Elokim, Olo Elokim Bistruah, and Elokim is Hashem's name relating to Midas Hadin, the strict judgment in being a judge. And then it says Hashem Bekol Shofar. Hashem is the Midas Rachamim. Hashem is the merciful one. So although Hashem is the judge, He practices mercy, and He lets us off lightly on many things. Hashem Bekol Shofar. So why is there this change from Elokim to Hashem within the space of three words? So the Midrash says, B'shor Shakarash Baruch Hu Yosheva Olal Kisei Din, the time when Hashem sits down on His throne of judgment, Bedinhu Ole, He goes up with the attitude that He's going to do justice and He's going to skid out punishment in the way He should. However, Uvashar Shisol Notlin is Shofreyam, but at the time that the Jewish people lift up their shofar, what is so special about this shofar? The ram's horn. I mean, it's a rather primitive instrument. It's not exactly musical, is it? If you go to a Covent Garden opera, you're not likely to hear the sound of a ram's horn. So what is this special thing about the shofar? V'token if now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when we blow the shofar before Hashem, Omeid Mikis Ha'adin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits over, He passes from His midas din, from His throne of justice, over to a different throne, the throne of Rachamim, the throne of mercy. So He hears this noise, this primitive noise from the ram's horn, and He gets up from the midas din and He goes over to midas Rachamim. I mean, it's amazing. So we're asking ourselves, what do we think when we hear the shofar? What does the Baal Tekeya think? We spoke about the Sajigog, we talk about the Gezer HaSakosa, we talk about the Rambam. We wake up. That's what we think. But what is Hashem thinking when He hears the shofar? He immediately, without hesitation, gets up from His strict throne of justice and He sits down on His merciful. Why? He turns it down. What's going on here? What is this magical effect of the shofar that Hashem suddenly changes His attitude towards us? Can you imagine if you would be a suspect criminal awaiting a trial at the Old Bailey and you just sound a ram's horn? It's not going to impress anybody. And even if you say sorry to the judge and jury, you're still going to be meted out justice because you've done the crime. And you say to them as much as you want, I've done teshuva, okay, you might get a slightly more lax sentence if you show remorse for your bad deeds, but you won't be let off completely. And here you've got a mitzvah which is so easy. I mean, you can't imagine a more easier mitzvah, provided you've got a bit of oxygen in your lungs. And if you haven't, well, somebody else will blow it for you. So it's easy. What is it in the power of the sound of the shofar to make this happen? Now, we spoke about the Akedah before, and really there is this connection with the Akedah, because when Hashem thinks about the Akedah Yitzchok, that Yitzchok, Avraham Avinu, put themselves out so much in service of God, and we said V'yirash Zaracho, and that has an effect on future generations, we are asking Hashem to show us the mercy as a result of the Akedah Yitzchok. That virtue carried on from Yitzchok all the way down to us. Why? Because the idea of the Akeva is it shows that we are subordinate and we're surrendering ourselves to Hashem's authority. And Kol Yaakov writes that Avraham Avinu, he controlled his instinct and his love for his son to do what he did, and Yitzchok did this Mesiras Nefesh. So there you have this devotion. Now, if that is the case, if the power of the shofar is so great that it changes Hashem completely to do a U-turn, if I may use the politician's term, why is it that there are certain occasions that our rabbis suspended the blowing of the shofar? Because we know that when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar. Rabbis made a rule. And what was their reason? Well, they were worried that you might come to carry in a public thoroughfare. And even in areas where on Shabbos, and even in areas where there's an Eruv, because they wanted to make a low plug, a general rule over everywhere, we said, don't blow the shofar. The Mishnah says, the Mikdosh Hayu Token of a low Medina, and there's an argument, what is Mikdosh? It might be the whole of Yerushalayim, so there are some who think, well, you'll still blow it in Jerusalem, but in general, the whole of Israel, the whole of the world, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we don't blow. Why? Somebody might come to carry. We're not going to go into all the details of what the Gemara says. It doesn't really mean carrying from your house to your shul. It might be somebody carrying four amos. Somebody finds it. He's an ignoramus. He wants to learn. And the Sefer of Rav David Nieto says that this person might even be doing it the mazes. He might even be warned beforehand. You mustn't carry, but he wants to do the mitzvah. How do we understand this mentality? How do we understand that a person wants to do the mitzvah and he's warned, yeah, but you're now breaking another mitzvah? It's an interesting idea, because there are some people who will break Shabbos in order to go to shul. They will drive a car in order to go to shul without realizing that it's better to stay at home, because driving a car is one of the 39 prohibitions of Shabbos. Davening in shul, it's all very nice, but you can daven at home. So what is this mentality? Chazal recognize that there are people who want to perform the ritual. They think the ritual is so important that they want to come to the synagogue and pray and take part in the service and hear the shofar and blow the, and shake the lulav and do all these other things, because they think this is what Judaism is all about. But really, Judaism is about keeping Hashem's commandments. And if Hashem said, don't drive a car on Shabbos, well, he didn't say in the Torah, don't drive the car, but we interpret it because it comes within the 39 melachos, which are in the Torah Shebik Sub and the Torah Shebal Peh. So there is an interesting idea here behind the mentality of Chazal, why they made this rule, don't do shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Why not? We're worried somebody might carry, because they knew that even if they do it on purpose, people will want to do this ritual. But the question is this: if Chazal knew from the Medrash, which we just quoted, that Hashem gets up from his throne of justice to his throne of mercy, then how could they do away with the mitzvah of shofar? All right, you can say, well, on the second day we do blow when it's on a Sunday, but that the Torah holds that Rosh Hashanah is one day. So how could Chazal do this? Because lives are at stake. Ah, you could say, yeah, well, lives are at stake if they're breaking Shabbos, because there can be a capital punishment for somebody who breaks Shabbos but makes it on purpose. But that's talking about one or two individuals. But here, none of us will manage if we, all right, there are some tzaddikim amongst us here, but if we are saying that Hashem gets up from his throne of, doesn't get up from his throne of justice, then what's going to happen to all of us? Everybody will suffer. So lives are at stake on a huge scale, and this is a weapon of mass destruction. So if Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, and therefore, not blowing shofar is like a pikuach nefesh, because Hashem then won't be getting up from his midas din to his midas rachamim. So how could Chazal do what they did? I grappled a lot with this problem for a while, until I came across one or two answers, maybe three answers. I found in the Shemesh Shmuel an idea that Shabbos has a special identity of its own. Asher kereshanu b'mitzvosov v'rotzovonu Hashem endears himself to us when it comes to Shabbos. So by us keeping Shabbos, that in itself has an effect on God's attitude towards us. Because we stop working and we show that he is the creator, we show our emunah, we demonstrate our faith, that is great, and that has an effect on him. So that if we keep Shabbos and say also that we're not going to blow the shofar because somebody might break Shabbos, that in itself finds favor with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he says, yeah, okay, you're in my good books now. So even though he will not hear the shofar and he won't get up from his throne of justice onto his throne of mercy, by keeping Shabbos, that in itself will put him on the throne of mercy. That will give us the Midas Rachamim that we badly need. That's the Shemesh Shmuel, a very nice idea. And therefore, it's interesting to note that if you think of the very first Rosh Hashanah that the Jewish people had, because we say that the different days of Pesach correspond to different Yomim Tov in that year. So the third day of Pesach corresponds to the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the following Rosh Hashanah. Now we know that the Jewish people came out of Egypt on a Thursday, which we called Pesach Mitzrayim. Alright, well, it talks about Pesach Mitzrayim one day, but if you imagine Pesach as being the time when the Jews came out, which was on a Thursday, then the third day was a Shabbos, which meant that the first Rosh Hashanah of the Jewish people, when they came out after Matan Torah, you could say, well, the Torah was given on a Shabbos. So the first Rosh Hashanah they had was on a Shabbos. And what does the Pasuk say? Yom Zichron Tzurah. When it's talking to them initially about Rosh Hashanah, it says Zichron Tzurah. It's a remembrance. It's not the actual blowing. And only later on in the Torah, it talks about every other Rosh Hashanah, it talks about Yom Tzurah. And Yom Zichron Tzurah Chazal allude to Shabbos and Yom Tzurah. So the Zichron Tzurah is very powerful because of the effect of Shabbos on our lives and Hashem's attitude towards us. But there's another idea, something really profound. And that is a sefer called Mishmeres Kohuna. Rav Meir Yechiel HaLevi, who's known as the Ostrovtsa Rebbe, a very great Talmid Chacham, as well as being a famous Hasidic Rebbe. And he says, what is going on here? If the shofar is going to have such an effect, we got to fight this Midas Adin. Shofar is an essential ingredient to make Hashem sit on the Midas Rachamim. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chavtes says, Omer Rabbi Abahu, Lama Tokin B'Shofar Shal Ayil. Why do we blow with the shofar of the ram? Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu Tiku Defnei B'Shofar Shal Ayil Kadesh Eshmelochem Akedas Yitzchok. Like we said before, the reason why we blow the shofar is that Hashem should remember Abraham and Isaac's possible offering of the Akedah. And Hashem, I will regard it, Hashem says, as though you did the same thing. Not simply that we merit from Avraham and Yitzchok, from what they did. Hashem goes even further and says that when you blow the shofar, I will imagine as though every one of you is Avraham and Yitzchok. Amazing that we get that credit. We're showing the same Mesiras Nefesh as Yitzchok showed. So by us refraining from blowing the shofar, surely we are putting ourselves into a Pikuach Nefesh because of the Midas Hadin. And we refrain, but because of the Zechus of Akedas Yitzchok, we are showing that we are subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by refraining from a Din of Chazal, if we say, right, we're not going to blow shofar because Chazal told us not to, in deference to our Pi Hashem Asheyerucho, which we learned in yesterday's Sedra Parshas Shoftim, that because we are prepared to forego this Midas Adin to Midas Rachamim by listening to Chazal, our Pi Ador Asheyerucho, that you mustn't turn to the right or to the left of what they teach you, that is the merit, the same merit as Akedas Yitzchok. Why? Because we're sacrificing our lives, possibly. We're potentially giving up our lives because we're keeping Hashem on his Kisei Adin. So by keeping Hashem on his Kisei Adin, but by keeping the Divrei Chazal, that is like we are doing Akedas Yitzchok. And because of that, Hashem gives us the Midas Rachamim without hearing Tekiyas Shofar. An amazing idea which comes from the Ostrovtsa Rebbe. So just as we lose the mitzvah saseh because of the gezeras hachomim and risking ourselves, that arouses the kisei rachamim. That is our second answer to our question. So the first answer we said was that Shabbos has its own effect, v'rotzav onu, so we don't have to worry when we don't blow the shofar. The second idea of the Ostrov Sereber is, okay, we don't move Hashem with the Tkiyas Shofar, but we move Hashem by our devotion to Takonos Chazal in line, in parallel with Akedas Yitzchak. But there's another idea. We spoke before about Rosh Hashanah being 2 days. And Chazal call it Yom Arichto, at one long day. So sometimes we have with 2 days Yom Tov this idea of Tanai, that if today is Yom Tov, tomorrow isn't. And if today isn't Yom Tov, tomorrow is. We get this with Erev Tavshilin. And the Shulchan Aruch treats it that one day is Din, one day is Sofek. But the practical halacha is that both days are Rosh Hashanah, Yom Arichto, and then you say you can't then benefit from this Tanai with Erev Tavshilin. It's one long day. And we have 2 days. So what is the significance and practical terms of having 2 days Rosh Hashanah instead of one? Now we know that the original thing was that the messengers couldn't go out. It was the beginning of the month, so there was a doubt as to which day was Rosh Hashanah when we went according to the sighting of the new moon. That's the history of it. But what's the practicality of it? What's according to the din? You don't lay tefillin saying, well, if today isn't Yom Tov, I'm going to lay tefillin. We don't lay tefillin on either days. So both days are Yom Tov. And it's not that you're adding on. There's no Baal Tosif that's saying an extra day of Yom Tov. So what is it? So like we say with shofar, we also say with tefillin. Sheval Tasa, you don't lay tefillin on either day. Ah, so do we say one day is Rosh Hashanah, one day isn't? No, we say both days are Rosh Hashanah. There is no doubt. Says the Ksav Sofer, Bro Kol Amei Oretz Kishem Hashem Nikra, Amin Hogon Shed Yisrael, it's Taras Hashem Tamimo, part of Lo Sosu, don't turn away from what the rabbis teach you. Now for every single din that the rabbis made, they gave a reason, but there were half a dozen other reasons they didn't give you. So they gave us a reason why we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Because of the whole problem with Kiddush HaKodesh, and the Chasam Sofer asks various questions about this idea of Sofek. Somebody asked him, if I take 2 days off work for Rosh Hashanah, do I get the schar? Because surely Rosh Hashanah is only 1 day. He says, yes, you get the schar for 2 days. And why is it called Yom Tov? It's called Yom Hadin. So what is the status of the second day Rosh Hashanah? It's not a Sofek, but it's a din. So Rav Dessler writes in Chelek Beis of his work, Michtam Eliyahu, he brings a Zohar from Pinchas, and he says the reason why we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah is because the first day is the Din of Kashyo, the Midas Adin, and the second day is the Din of Rafyo, which is the Midas Rachamim. So he says, if you don't succeed on the first day in your mission to change Hashem's mind, then you will succeed on the second day. Because the first day is the Midas Hadin, and the second day is the Midas Rachamim. And this is borne out by what we learn from the Sefer Torah on Rosh Hashanah. Because on the first day, we read about the birth of Yitzchok. Yitzchok represents Midas Din. But on the second day, we read about the Akedah, and the Akedah represents Hashem's Midas Rachamim. So that is to say, that could it be really that Chazal was directing Hashem in instituting a second day? Because remember, Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim, Hashem sanctifies the Shabbos, but it's the Jewish people who choose when is Yom Tov. We decide on our calendar. We decide when Yom Kippur is. We decide when Hashem is to judge us. There's something very significant about this, that the ball is in our court. And when the angels ask Hashem, when is Rosh Hashanah, when is Yom Kippur, Hashem says to the angels, ask the Beis Din Shalmata. They're deciding that downstairs. What is the significance of this? That we are fixing our trial date. And Chazal fixed 2 days for Rosh Hashanah. Why? So that if Hashem doesn't give you what you need for the coming year on the first day, then he'll give you Minas Rachamim on the second day. An amazing idea. So Rav Simcha Zissel Brody writes in his Som Derech, he says, if you repent by the first day, fine, you get a good decree. On the second day, everything's going to be fine. You don't even need to wait till Yom Kippur, because you will get your clean slate already on Rosh Hashanah. So although the tradition is, well, the Beinonim have to wait till Yom Kippur, and it's only the Tzaddikim who get judged on the first day, what he's really saying is you don't really need to wait till Yom Kippur. Because if you've repented already, by the time that first day is over, well, fine, but the second day gives you that next chance that you can do your teshuva on the second day, and you don't have to wait till Yom Kippur. One can change the verdict, which was made on the first day, on the second day. And so the Matthew Ephraim says this, in Halacha, he says there are those judged on the first day, and others who Hashem has Rachmanas on, he judges on the second day. An amazing piece. And this is brought in Halachic scripture. V'yesh b'nei adam shenidon b'rosh Hashanah yom aleph, shudin kosher, that's the Midas Din. V'yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu merachem aleihem, he's got mercy on them, shenidon b'yom sheni. Can you imagine what fools the Reform are by doing away with the second day Rosh Hashanah? That would have been their chance. That's the one day they could chop to get the Midas Rachamim, and they discard with it. Isn't that daft when you throw away your ticket to freedom? So the Rav Dassler says something even more deep and significant. He says, and the Ma'adim Uzmanim says this, Rav Zevin, Hashem sometimes manipulated it that we would not witness the new moon, that Hashem delayed the visibility of the new moon, so that when the Eidim would come, they would only be able to come on the second day to testify that they saw the new moon. And so Hashem deliberately did that to cover up the new moon, so that there would be a second day Rosh Hashanah for everybody, because there were times when it might only be one day. For everybody would be 2 days wide, so that he could exercise his Midas Rachamim, so that he could hear the shofar on the second day. Because there is, according to the Rishalmi, even before, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was no shofar on Shabbos. There seems to be a machlokas, probably Rishalmi. So Beinei Yisachar writes in Tishri Mavis, in times of the Beis HaMikdash, we could do a tikkun in one day, but nowadays we have less strength, so we need the 2 days. And also in Eretz Yisrael, we need that Midas Rachamim. So we ask, how could Chazal do away with the mitzvah of shofar on Shabbos? The sound of the shofar is what changes Hashem's attitude towards us. Yeah, that's fine, we're not blowing on the Shabbos, but we're blowing on the Sunday. And on the Sunday, Hashem is still in action, exercising his judgments, but then using his Midas Rachamim. So the second day is even more important than the first day. So we gave 3 answers. One was the Kedusha of Shabbos has the effect. Secondly, we subservient with the Yostrof Tzareba saying that with dealing with Takonos Chazal, we are so well behaved that we will respect Lo Sosur, and by then risking our lives, we are nevertheless evoking the Midas Rachamim, even though we're risking our lives. And the third thing is, well, in any case, the shofar is sounded on the second day, when is the real day for Hashem to evoke his Midas Rachamim. And so with that Midas Rachamim, we can feel fairly confident, very confident. Because really, should we not be very nervous when we enter Rosh Hashanah? You know, Yom HaDin, like you're taking an exam, you go to college and you're all worried and you're all nervous, you don't have time for celebrating till afterwards. So what are you celebrating? But nevertheless, it says, Chabsin or Mistaprin, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you wash your clothes, you dress nicely, you have a haircut. How can you be in such a good mood? Again, the Mishnah Berurah, instead of just giving halacha, says something interesting and nice and philosophical. He says, "Laharos she'onu betuchin bechasto yisparach," to show that we are confident, that we've got trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'yotzi letzedek mishpateinu, that we're going to come out of it well, because we're going to behave in the way we should behave, we're going to succeed. And therefore, when we enter Rosh Hashanah Yom Adin, we say good Yom Tov. what Yom Tov is it that we're being judged? Okay, we don't say Selichus, and everything is on the emphasis of Melech, and we don't have all this thing like Vidoy and so on, like we would have on Yom Kippur. So what is this thing about Rosh Hashanah? We do tone it down, but the whole attitude is that we've got some confidence that we can enter it nicely. So it's never too late to do teshuva, because we can always rely on Hashem's rachamim. We're getting a fantastic deal. And just as the shofar has the power to attract Hashem's rachamim, so we should all be zoche to attract Hashem's rachamim. Now there's an interesting Magen Avraham in the Shulchan Aruch. In the Magen Avraham, also like the Mishpura, like the Rambam, gives halacha. You could do this, you do like that, you don't do this, you don't do it like that. That's the usual style. So there's an interesting idea which comes out from the Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Hei, where he tells a story. And it's very unusual for these halachic writers to tell stories. Especially Magen Avraham was very poor. It's written that he didn't have enough paper to write on. He started writing in his chidushim on the wall, because he couldn't afford to go out and buy more paper. Can you imagine? Now at least we got recycling bins. Well, what is this story? He says, one Rosh Hashanah, the Baal Tekeah could not manage to get the sound out of his shofar. You know, never, we've all seen it in our lifetime. You're in a shul, and however much the Baal Tekeah tries, he just can't get the sound of it. And you feel so sorry for the poor guy. And I remember in my childhood seeing this here in North Hendon. And you wait patiently, and the Baal Tekeah shakes it, and he tries to get the phlegm out of it, and he changes his shofar and gets another one, and they open the windows to get rid of the humidity, and you just can't get the sound out of it. So he talks about this happened once, and this fellow, he turned the shofar round to the wide opening, and he said into it the posuk, V'inam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu Umasi Odeinu Konanu Aleinu Umasi Odeinu Konanu, which means may the pleasantness of Hashem our God be on us and our handiwork to establish for us our handiwork. It's from Tehillim Tzadi. And suddenly he was able to blow the shofar properly. This is the short story given by the Magen Avraham. So there are a number of questions on this Magen Avraham. First of all, you know, he did everything in shorthand. Why is he starting telling a story? You know, is it that it was a miracle or a segula? But even so, that's not his style. Why does he feel this is worthy including a story when he's talking about the dinim? All right, practical DIY how to blow the shofar, but it's not in the style of giving the dinim. Secondly, why did this guy say this pasuk, v'hi noam? You know, this is a pasuk which was originally recited for the inauguration of the Mishkan. It's nothing really to do directly with the blowing and the sound of the shofar. You know, if you're talking about shofar, why can't you say something like Ola Elokim Bisruah, like we said before, Vashem Kol Shofar Elokim Midastim Hashem Midasrachamim? Surely that would be a more logical posuk to say when you're trying to get some sound out of your dear ram's horn. And then there's another question. Why recite the posuk into the wide end of the shofar? He turned it round. You know, the way you're blowing is through the narrow hole, not through the big one. So why did he turn it round and say the posuk into the wide hole? You know, you're not going to get sounds out of the shofar if you blow it at the wide end. No way. Miracle or otherwise, maybe. So, yeah. So there's a Rav Yitzchok Menachem Weinberg, who was known as the Talmud Rebbe, who gave us a very deep insight into this Magen Avraham. He said, it's not just the segula. He said, there's something much deeper to this. This is a principle not just on Tekiat Shofar, but to the whole of Rosh Hashanah and the whole of Yom Kippur generally. The lesson we learn from this, and a lesson which affects all our daily lives. He says, we have to be aware that constantly all our endeavors we can only do with Hashem's help, but we have to do our bit. We have to do the Hishtadlus. If Chas V'Shalom we're drowning, we have to reach out our hands for the helicopter to lift us out. We have to do something. So there's like a double-edged sword. On the one hand, we're aware that without Hashem's help, we're not going to achieve anything. On the other hand, if we sit back and do nothing, and we say it's up to God, we'll also achieve nothing. And so what's the best way forward? In the Mishkan, we had to show our effort. Why couldn't, you know, we just came out of Egypt, we're very primitive. Why couldn't Hashem just let something fall down from the sky? We had a Mishkan, but we had to work on it. We had to do our bit.
And Hashem gave the Chochmah to us. And that's the pasuk we quote for the Mishkan, Vihinoah. Through the Siyata Dishmaya, the people did their bit, donating the raw materials, we had the Chochmah Betzalel, and we made the Mishkan. And this can be with everything. Hashem wanted to teach us that the way of the world is that we put in our effort, and then He will do His bit. Hence that pasuk. So we blow the shofar at the narrow end. Says the Levush, why? Because we say in the pasuk, min ha-meitzar karosiko, as the Baal Tekeh starts with, min ha-meitzar, meitzar is the narrow bit. Kol olam kula geshet tsar mode. Tsar, meitzar, the narrowness of the shofar is where we blow. Min ha-meitzar karosiko, and then we ask, ononi ba-merchav ko. Merchav is the width, is the expanse of Hashem. So we're asking Hashem that from the narrow straits we call Hashem, and He should answer me with great expanse. That's from Tehillim, Kuf Yud Ches. So what do we find ourselves in a situation when we're saying min ha-meitzar and our efforts don't bear any fruit? It's time to turn around the shofar. It's time to receive assistance from the other side, from the wide bit of the shofar. And how do we pray to Him? We want Him to help us, so we're saying, look, we're doing our bit. V'inoam, excuse me. V'inoam Hashem Elokeinu, u'ma'ase yodeinu kenanei. U'ma'ase yodeinu is our handiwork. We're trying our bit. We're trying to blow the shofar. For goodness sake, please, please Hashem, do your bit, and now make a sound come out of it. So this Baal Tekeh didn't recite the pasuk into the narrow end. He recited it into the wide end because he realized that this wasn't just an effort to get Hashem to blow, but it was about Hashem saying, look, you know, we have done what we could do. Now, please, Hashem, can you make us succeed? So this is what the Magen Avraham is going on about in his little story. Chazal tell us that Tekiyas Shofar causes Hashem to rise, as we said, from the Kisei Din to the Kisei Rachamim, His throne of mercy. But as a result of our blowing of the shofar, as a result of our taking that effort to do it properly. And we know that if Hashem judges us with strict justice with din, we don't stand a chance. But when Hashem moves the Kisei Rachamim, can we survive? So we think it's up to Hashem to make that move. We think, oh look Hashem, the ball is in your court. You know, you can exercise your mercy on us. But no, it's actually up to us. We have to blow that shofar to call out to Him, min ha-meitzar, from that narrow hole. And by doing so, He should give us that b'merchav, that width with His melas rachamim. So that concept of that story applies not just to the blowing of the shofar, not just to Rosh Hashanah, not just to Teshuvah, but every aspect of our daily lives. That we must always do our bit, reach out, and Hashem will be there. What's the song? Reach out and I'll be there. Four tops, yeah. So that is the message. And what clear message can we get from this simple blowing of a non-musical instrument of a ram's horn? You might think you'll never hear it in an opera, but it's so significant for our fate for the coming year, for the fate of the Jewish people. We daven to Hashem that we should have a shnas, gula, vishua. Everybody should have a kasiva, v'chasima, tova. Thank you. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Rabbi Tzachon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Zachi, Tzol, Tzuchem, Tzol, Mitzvah, Shunem, Ad Mertham, Eitz, Demantin, Goyav, Dilta, Rabbi Yadir.